everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk, joined by the star, or the second star of the morning show. If you consider Carolla the star, you'd be the second star.
I consider myself a sidekick.
Teresa Strasser, look at you. Nice to see you.
Really good to see you. Thank you for having me. And you even offered me some of your dinner.
Well,
you had the Cheetos all out, and you offered me not just the crumbly ones.
Anyone you wanted.
Yeah, that was nice.
Anyone you wanted.
Should we tell about busting into Heidi Frosty and Frank's office?
Yeah, we felt bad, but
I feel terrible. I can't do anything. I can't lie.
Well, you know what? They'll be the first ones, I think, to say, you know, knock yourself out.
Okay.
But if you go into Frosty, Heidi, and Frank's office, it essentially looks like the liquor aisle at Gelson's.
It's better stocked than many bars.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
I mean, there wasn't just one bottle of Crown Royal. There were two.
There was two, yeah.
They didn't need both of those.
Yeah.
Or at least a little nip that I just took they didn't need.
So we went in there because Teresa said she's had a terrible day.
I had a little bit of a meltdown in my
personal life or professional life?
My wrinkles need to be smoothed out. The edges just got rounded. You know, it's just, I don't know if you ever have those days where you have a Peggy Lee. Like, what's this all about? What's this for?
I had that today.
Did you?
Yeah, I was driving to work today because my daughter is 3 years old. She'll be three next week.
I'm
planning on raising her outside of Los Angeles. I don't think I'm going to raise her in Los Angeles. So now I got to try to figure out when.
You've apparently seen Living Lohan.
Yeah, right.
This is what's done it.
Yeah, I've seen almost all the kids that, you know, and again, God bless. There are some great parents. There's some great kids being raised here in Los Angeles. I just don't think I have the dough to do it. You know, you got to put them in private school.
Yeah.
You got to really make sure that they, you know, you keep them away from drugs and gangs and all kinds of crap. It's really a difficult chore. But so eventually I'm going to move up to Oregon and raise my kid up in Oregon.
That's a nice plan.
Yeah, we bought a place up there, and that's the plan. So now I got to figure out how and why and when and all that stuff.
Right? Now, what caused the spiral?
Well, I think what it was is, you know, I've been doing this, it'll be 12 years in December.
Are you serious?
That we've been doing this show here. And I enjoy working, I really do. I think it's, you know, it's very exciting to come in here every night, especially when we have, you know, great guests like yourself. And I, you know, we get to meet like great comics. Arsenio Hall is on with us Wednesday. Robert Schimmel's coming in today.
Oh, they're all great. And I don't know if this is a Crown Royal, but I'm really enjoying you right now.
It's got to be the Crown Royal.
You just are so genial. You really are.
I don't get that unless I'm in bars.
I am. I'm just sitting back enjoying
you. Thank you very much. Thank you. But I thought to myself, I was watching a special the other night of a guy who, and I think it was called Stop Chasing or something like that. He stopped chasing the dollar. You know, that's what we all do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody listening right now, or almost everybody listening, including Randy and Gina, the management of the station, sales, you, Carolla, Adam, you know, Tom Likes, everybody's chasing that dollar.
Takes up almost all your time.
And it does. I mean, that's why you sit in traffic. That's why you live around graffiti. That's why you live in a city that has more potholes than any other city in the United States. The subway system stinks. The trains are killing people. And you put up with all of this, the smog, the earthquakes, the heat, the drought, just to chase these dollars.
And then for what?
And then, yeah, eventually what do you got? You know?
Now, I figured having a kid would permanently remove this feeling from me that my life was empty and had no meaning.
Oh, it takes a lot off of your
I'm thinking of even naming my kid when I have it.
Is that right?
Mommy's Second Chance. Do you think that's too much pressure?
No.
How about little
Mommy's
nihilist?
Mommy's Angel. Mommy's Life Changer.
Mommy's career was coming to an end, wasn't it?
There was a very funny comic we had on this last night. His name was Louis C.K.
Oh, he's great.
And he wanted to change his, or call his kid, Ladies and Gentlemen. And I thought, well, that's an interesting name, Ladies and Gentlemen. And then when he got pissed at the kid, he goes, all right, Ladies and Gentlemen, damn it!
Ladies and Gentlemen, I need you to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, good night, Ladies and Gentlemen. but I think it's, you know, corporate America is great. I mean, it's brought me a lot of nice things. I got a nice house in the Valley. I got a great wife. I got a great kid. A decent car. I got insurance and all that stuff.
Right. You appreciate all that,
oh, yeah,
of course.
I absolutely do. I think corporate America puts a lot of people that otherwise would be unemployed or working in, you know, in a slave wages, they gave you some decent dough for, you know, doing decent work. And I maybe it's like a midlife crisis that the guys go through, and they get their, you know, their Corvette, and they start running around and, you know, chasing the chicks again. But I don't think that's me, because I've discovered that no matter how many chicks you chase, they're all the same.
Right.
And most guys who get divorced, they regret getting divorced because they're eventually going to end up with a chick who's exactly like their wife.
Right. You're chasing the strange, and the strange becomes the familiar, and it never ends.
That's exactly right. You've crystallized my thoughts.
Thank you.
You put them in the terms that any layperson can now understand what I was trying to say.
Well, I thank my friend Crown.
There you go. Now, can you get buzzed on one shot?
Well, that was just no. That's that warmed me up a little bit. You know, you can feel it going, warming up the chest.
Yes, yes.
I felt good. I did feel the edges around it a little bit.
Yeah, one or two drinks puts me to sleep. I need like 12 or 13 to really get going.
Really?
And Jack Silver said, he's the program director, he said he's never worked at a radio station where everybody who works here has to drink until they can't walk. Nobody can have one or two beers at this station.
I don't know. Adam and I are pretty good. When we do the live shows, we generally have 2-3 drinks.
Is that right?
By the end, my news is a bit sloppy, which isn't to say it's exactly clean every day.
I don't remember the end of the Commerce Casino remotes. I really don't.
No.
I really get crazy. All right, before we get into this, real quick, on the way to work, I saw this today. I saw this black chick driving a BMW, and on the back, it said Obama 08, right?
Right.
And then literally 20 minutes later, I saw a beat-up old red pickup truck with a dog in the back and a busted window and a Confederate sticker on the back window, and it said John McCain 08. For you folks that are in the obvious, we get it. Well, we understand, all right? The Confederate flag goes for McCain, and the black chick driving around the valley, we understand. You don't have to put the stickers on. It's the people in the middle that are now deciding this race.
Right, that's true.
The obvious, please, not with the stickers.
Yeah, we could probably predict with the Confederate flag that you are not an Obama fan.
Yes, and if you drive around a Prius, I think those come with Obama stickers.
Yeah, that's one of the features. Yeah.
So please, enough with the stickers. If you're real obvious, enough with the sticker. If you're like a white guy with a Confederate flag and you put an Obama sticker on there, then yeah. All right, let's roll with that.
Color me confused.
All right, here is I got an email last week, and I don't normally read email, but Randy sent me this one. It says, Tim, are there people out there like myself that left corporate America and loved the decision? I thought this was appropriate for tonight. And it says, I'll tell you what I did. At the ripe age of 26, he's like your age.
Yeah,
26,
thank you. Yeah. Right around there.
I left a cushy, lucrative, corporate benefit-lined advertising job for the chaotic, adventurous world of self-employment. I kissed off corporate America. 4 years later, I don't regret my decision, and I wouldn't go back for all the gold watches in the IBM vault. My decision to leave corporate America crept up on me slowly. It wasn't like a bolt of lightning or revelation that vividly popped into my brain one morning. Looking back, there were lots of subtle signs along the way. I started to see myself in the eyes of those older than I at the ad agency where I worked. And that's what you see. You know, like, we went to a corporate meeting tonight with CBS Radio, and I saw guys that are, you know, maybe 15, 20 years older than I was.
You're looking into your own future.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, you know, is that
scary?
Is that me, you know, in 20 years? You know?
I think about the same thing. I mean, I think I've asked myself this question for years. You know, it's you know, wouldn't it be nice to get off the grid? And in my fantasy, my reoccurring fantasy, I live in New Mexico, and I have a typewriter, and I write a novel. I don't know why I don't have a computer.
You don't have a computer?
In life, I do. But in my fantasy, I've got a typewriter.
Wow.
I should probably update. And to make money, I work as a cocktail waitress at the saloon in town.
Not a bad gig.
And I work on this novel. And, you know, maybe I have a horse named Suicide or, you know, Danger or something. And sometimes I work the morning shift at the diner pouring coffee. Everybody knows my name, but they don't know my real name. They just call me Sweet Cheeks. And I'm not on the grid. You know, I don't have to worry.
Right,
I don't
exactly.
have to worry about my 401k or the economy crashing or that my life has no meaning.
Hey, listen, I envy those people that do this. you know, that leave corporate America and a guy starts his own, I don't know, lawn chair business, you know, or he's going to be a tour guide at the Whitewater Rapids up in Oregon.
Sure, but it has such a downside. I mean, my dad used to work for the government. Okay, now his job, when on my birth certificate, it says dad's occupation, private investigator. But what that really meant was he worked for the government chasing down syphilis and dog bites.
Is that right?
I swear, if somebody had syphilis or gonorrhea, or they'd been bitten by a dog, which could be rabid, my dad had to go to bars and various places and chase down these people and wow. tell them that they might have been infected. So he worked for the man. I mean, the man, the government.
Yeah, the big man.
Yeah.
Uncle
and he
man,
couldn't
Uncle
handle
Sam.
Authority. He couldn't wear a tie. He couldn't play by their rules. He thought things were stupid and they didn't make sense. And so, you know, he dropped out and he became a mechanic. And that's what he did for 35 years, fixing cars. Beautiful story. He was, you know, he ran his own business. He didn't have to answer to anybody. Now he's 64. No pension. No
Busted
insurance.
Up.
Yeah. Hard times. Mm. So there's a price to pay when you drop off the
yeah.
grid. But I still think it might be worth it.
It's a gamble. It's a major gamble. It's, you know, it's rolling the dice and seeing if you can, you know, if it comes up, you know,
there's
sometimes
some
it's
days,
7 hours.
Though, you just, you feel like,
what
well,
happened
I,
to you today that got you?
Today was just one of those days where I thought, what really? What's it all about, Alfie? Get up at 4 in the dark. I'll chuckle at a couple of jokes. I insert a word or two. I poorly do the news.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well,
I wait for that moment where I might be able to jump in and say something interesting. And then I go home having possibly not added much some
That's
days.
That's not true. That's
some
not
days
true.
I leave and I think, what have I added? Other days I feel like I contributed. But even looking at the big picture, what have I done?
That's
I've talked to some people, and then and then you spend the rest of the day just on the grid answering your emails, answering phone calls, and then the day's over.
Right. It's, what time do you go to bed? 9?
Yeah.
All right. And then it's back up at 4 a.m. again. Now,
yeah.
what about weekends?
Well,
you up on...
3 days a week, I go to my second job at TV Guide. So
oh, that's right,
I
right.
go there, and then the day's over. And that, of course, I mean, I'm on half the screen. The other half is scrolling the other shows that you could be watching.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And listen, it's hard to complain because I could be doing a job that I hate 100 times more.
Oh,
these
yeah.
are great jobs and making a fraction of what I'm making, so it's hard to complain.
Right.
But it's just the way I'm built. I just get every, maybe twice a year, I just have like a funk or a melancholy.
How long does it last?
Generally about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes it can go longer.
So your husband's in for a
this is his
dark
first.
Period.
Yeah, this is his first
yeah.
with me so far.
And how deep are you into it?
It's a little bit bad.
Is it today the first day?
Oh, no, no.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm about 2 weeks in.
Oh, you're 2 weeks in?
It should clear up in about
okay,
a week.
So we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, for the first 2 weeks, I kind of try to pretend it's not happening. Then today my husband came home and I said, will you walk me down to the coffee bean and tea to get a coffee? He said, okay. And about halfway there, I just couldn't walk anymore. I felt weak and I sat on the curb and started crying.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, it's a weird thing. I don't know. There's a lot of depression. And let's put it this way. Every mental illness is represented in my family. So I come by this honestly.
Oh, good.
But you know, it's hard to say. Usually a melancholy is such a confluence of factors, and you don't even know sometimes till you're looking backward
right.
what that was. I mean,
right.
did I eat something bad or just not sleep or my brain chemistry was off or, you know, who knows? Who knows what could have been the cause?
You know, that happened. Speaking of sitting on the curb, about 3 weeks ago, there was a 14-year-old kid who was laying on the curb across the street from our house, and my wife looked out the window. And my wife said, he hasn't gotten up for about 15 or 20 minutes, a young kid. So she walks over there and she's with, and he's with his brother. And his brother says, yeah, my brother's really sick. And I think he's dehydrated and he can't move. And my wife said, I'm going to call the ambulance. And they said, no, they're Hasidic Jews and they can't get an ambulance on a
Not
Saturday.
Us, yeah.
Until the sun goes down. And my wife said, I don't give a rat's ass what the religious background is. If you're dying...
And by the way, God would support your wife.
Yeah, you're going to the
Absolutely.
Hospital.
There are exceptions.
And so my wife called the ambulance. They showed up. And the ambulance driver, the paramedic, said, this kid's in very bad shape and he needs to go to the hospital right now. He was so dehydrated that they were worried that he would pass out and wouldn't regain consciousness again.
Are you saying I maybe just need a drink of water?
You might need a little water.
Me?
Yeah, you might be a little dehydrated.
This poor kid, you know, it's okay. It's so bizarre that you would mention that because, okay, this is about, this will be sad, but only for a minute, and then it'll go back to being light and funny. Okay, so a year ago, I think this may be part of the funk because I feel so guilty even having a funk because I'm so lucky and blessed to be employed and have a
roof. Are you on antidepressants at all?
No. They don't work for me.
Right.
Not that I haven't tried every single one. And if they worked, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right.
The Crown Royals, really. Listen, occasionally I have a Xanax, but listen, don't judge. So about a year ago, exactly a year ago, September 24th, so almost exactly a year ago, my brother went in for surgery. He had a giant spinal tumor.
Wow.
A 10-centimeter tumor on his spine. So he had a 15-hour surgery. They went in and took it out. They took out his sacrum. There's a lot of nerves around there that control a lot of important functions. And while he was in there for 15 hours, I worked here. Unfortunately, at the time, I also worked at TMZ. I went there for 4 hours, and then I went to TV Guide every hour checking in with my parents.
Wow.
And I just saw my brother this past weekend. It's a year later, and I think a part of me feels the worst survivor guilt. I mean, he's still alive. You know, and he's okay. He's
doing
well.
Where was he out here when it happened?
He was back east. He had this done at Johns Hopkins. You couldn't be in a better place.
Right, and you felt bad because you weren't there.
I felt bad because I wasn't there. Now, I was supporting my family. My dad, who was working part-time, had to quit his job. He was back east for 3 months. And so I was supporting them. My mom and dad is weird. They've been divorced since I was three. They moved in together to save money. So they were living together in like an awful, depressing cancer sitcom. And kind
like
of falling
Carola's
back
parents.
In love. Yeah. And I think I have this, I think this is common. I mean, he didn't die. He's still here. But I have this horrible survivor guilt. Like here he has this giant scar up his back and he's been through so much. And my life seems kind of blessed in comparison. And I feel guilty.
Oh, but see, that's a woman's guilt. Guys don't feel that kind of guilt.
You don't?
No. Like my mother was dying of cancer in 2005, and I couldn't go back to see her because my first daughter was being born, and my wife's going to have a baby at any minute.
Right. There's no way you could go.
And so my wife had her baby, and 8 days later, my mom died, and I had to be here for my kid, and I didn't know my mom was going to die. And my mother died on my birthday. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, she brought me
Ryan
in on that day, and she took herself out on that day. And,
wow.
And I didn't have a great relationship with my mother, so all my brothers said that was her final F you to
me. I'm going to ruin your birthday for the rest of your freaking life.
Now, it happened at 4 a.m. on my birthday, too. It wasn't like, you know, noon or 3 p.m. where I could enjoy it for a little
bit. Did you go to her funeral?
Yes, yeah. Of course I did. Sure, absolutely.
But you didn't see her before she went.
No.
And you have no guilt.
No. I mean, what can you do? I mean,
my guilt is like, why him and not me? Why did something horrible happen randomly to him and not me?
But see, that's a woman's guilt. Women have that kind of guilt. And my sister goes through that. My wife goes through it. And I don't understand it. But I know that women go through it. Guys don't really go through that kind of stuff. It's like a grandmother of a friend of mine died recently. And he has two kids. He has a son and a daughter. And the daughter was busted up where she keeps emailing her grandmother. You know, trying to, you know, because she doesn't believe that she's dead.
Oh.
And the son was like, yeah, I guess mom's like a flashlight and ran out of batteries. You know?
Now,
that's the way the two people handle it.
Is this the kind of hot talk, the kind of fast and funny hot talk that you brought me in for?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, we get cancer and depression.
Yes.
Getting off the grid.
Well, we're going to move on here. But anyway, leaving corporate America, we got a great email from a guy who lives in Valencia who said he left corporate America. And this is what he said. He saw too many people at the office who had settled now and have 2.5 kids, a stifling suburban mortgage, who had accepted the golden handcuffs that corporate America had placed on him. And I saw my future in them, and their dreams and their true selves had been lost. So if you've left corporate America, did it work out for you, or was it a horrible decision in your life? Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Teresa Strasser's with us from the Corolla Show. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Look at that.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Teresa Strauss is with us from that morning show, that Adam Carolla show, every morning between 5 and 10 a.m. And always nice to see you.
It's always nice to be here.
Yeah, I wish you can come in more often. It's always great to have an interesting voice and somebody who's enthusiastic, you know,
most of the time. Should I? Are you saying I should be bringing it?
No.
Listen, I've been up since 4.
It's a long day for you.
It really is.
But I was talking to Teresa during the break, and she said that she has to mask her like depression sometimes. Just pretend like you're up. Pretend like you're happy.
Sure.
I do that all the time.
You got to, especially
guys
since I've been married. You have to just fake it, because no one wants to come home to somebody who's miserable every day.
That's exactly right. So I tell Randy to fake it, too, when he gets pissed or depressed.
Tim, I don't have the energy to fake it.
I think like you enjoy it.
I hate it here.
You love it. We were talking about the hours, and I was telling you, I think part of the reason sometimes my brain chemistry gets a little off is when I get up, it's dark. It's 4.
Right.
And sometimes when I get home, it's dark. So I haven't, not one photon, you know, has touched my body.
Wow.
And I think I'm susceptible to that, you know, seasonal affective disorder thing. Sad. But there's nothing sadder than not working.
Right.
That's the truth.
You should get a sun lamp at home. You know, like
right?
For the plants.
I know.
Just sit in front of that for an hour.
I know. Well, what I was just telling you, too, when I lived in New York, there was a couple months, January and February, and I just thought, I really don't want to be here. Like, I just felt like life is like a bad party where I don't know anyone and no one likes me and I want to go home and read a book and have a drink.
Right.
And I just don't want to be here anymore. And then the sun came out and I thought, this is not so bad.
It's great. New York City.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm not a talentless hack. I'm fine.
All right. If you've left corporate America, was that a good decision? Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
You do that so well.
Thank you very
much. You're really
much.
A pro.
Thank you. It's 12 years of that.
Get your freaking act together!
Hey,
how much is
please.
It wearing on you now? How much? How much?
I did that the other day when somebody, I was talking to an insurance guy. He says, what's your phone number? I said, 520-97. No. All right, let's talk to Andy in Encino. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm a fan of both of you. I can combine the depression with corporate America. I was once successful. I got, I was in outside sales and sold computers to lumber yards of all places. And then, after a while, I got burnt out. And, oh, by the way, they say Ashkenazic Jews, like we are.
We're more prone to depression, breast cancer, and a lot
is that
of
right?
Yeah,
but
we're very inbred.
Wow.
Yeah, or something. Maybe
this is why I married a Catholic.
Camps. I don't know. Oh, my first husband was Catholic, half Irish, half Italian. I'm on a Jew, but whatever. The thing
so
I
no temper
to
issues
you,
over there.
No. So the thing is, I burnt out, and burnout is usually, you know, a sign of depression too. So I went through one bout, and they put me on some antidepressant. But many years later, this was, God, 5 years ago, severe depression, because I actually got fired from a job I was going to quit. But because they beat me to it, it put me, like, in the worst depression. It almost lasted 2 years, and my psychopharm expensive guy tried everything. Finally, because I was premenopausal, they said it was a hormonal thing, too. So combining those two got me better. But I was catatonic, because you can tell I'm a type A. So I felt so worthless. And
right.
Being fired is one of the most depressing things, I think, that can happen to a human being.
Yeah, I think also when you get fired in corporate America and they have a security guard walk you to your desk.
Yeah, with that box of stuff that you carry out,
and
your fired
your
box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's it.
Have you ever been fired from a radio gig?
I've never been fired from radio, but what time is it?
8:30.
8:30. I've never been fired from radio, but I have been fired from every other job I've ever had.
Every single job.
I've never quit a job. I've always been fired.
Now, do you incite the firing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because you know it's time to go, but you just don't have the huevos to quit.
Well,
like a relationship. You just make it miserable, and then she dumps you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. No, I've been fired from every... Because I screw up. I'm, you know, I just mess up. I push it too far, and people finally say, enough.
Let me ask you this, Tim. Have you had any close calls here at this station?
I've been suspended 4 times.
What?
At the station, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I was fired, actually, from the station in 2000... No, in 1997, and then brought back. Steckel and I were fired, and off for a month. Then we came back, and then we were suspended a year later for saying that there was a riot in Santa Monica when there really wasn't.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. You should remember that, Dougie. And then we were suspended for playing a live broadcast of a sporting event from the TV on radio.
Oh, not allowed to do that. You don't have the rights.
No license for that.
Yeah.
So that bought us a couple of days. And
that doesn't seem so bad. That was an innocent mistake.
Yeah, but Jack Silver didn't think it was that great.
What was
damn it!
What was the worst of the infractions here?
I think calling a fake riot in Santa Monica because, you know, there was a time when there was like 11 murders in a 2-week span in Santa Monica. And so Steckler and I said, hey, there's a riot going on 3rd Street, which there wasn't. But all
Shades of War of the World.
Yes,
right?
But all the stores that we were naming that were being broken into were all stores that don't exist anymore. Like Licorice Pizza, Farrell's, Standard Shoes, you know, stores that don't exist anymore. So
if they loot Farrell's, I mean, it's over.
And so the station had to pay the Santa Monica Police Department because the Santa Monica
cops.
They sent not only sent out cops, but they got 91 calls to 911.
Oh.
And it was a big balls up. So they suspended us for that, and that bought us about 3 days.
Now, this Andy, she sounds like she's gotten over her depression.
Yeah. It sounds like she's about to kill herself, or I'm going to kill myself.
I can't decide which.
Listening to her. Let's talk to Justin in Malibu. You're on 97.1. How are you?
I'm doing great now.
All right, dude. What'd you do? You left corporate America, dude?
Yeah, basically, I was, I worked for a number of companies, you know, got fired. And was a photographer and just kept getting, you know, bumping my head against the wall. And nobody wanted to listen to what I had to say because I used to shoot film and nobody knows anything with digital. And so I'm staying up late at night and I come up with an idea and I sell it and now I don't have to work.
What's the idea? Can you tell us?
Well, it's a gadget for photography that's going to come out in about 2 or 3 years. It's going to make... It's gonna change things.
So you sold the patent.
And how much did you get?
Enough to buy a nice condo and to live comfortably.
Million?
Yeah, about five.
Cha-ching! You know what can be a problem? I don't know about you,
but 5 million?
Yeah.
No, 1.5.
Yeah.
Jesus.
If I had you know started to manufacture myself, I would have made more money. But I just didn't want to hassle.
Good for you.
Yeah, just be careful. Don't put it in these things called banks. Apparently, they aren't safe anymore.
Yeah, take your money and run, dude.
You know what can be depressing, though?
Under a mattress or something.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, obviously, you know, working for the man night and day can be depressing. But having no schedule, like this guy's got $1.5 million, if you are to believe his story, and I don't know that I do.
Right.
But let's just buy it at face value. You wake up, and your day just stretches out ahead of you with no structure.
That's
that
perfect.
Can be tough. You
well,
like that.
I don't know. I think it could be great to have, you know, to have all of your freedom. And, you know, you have to supply your own structure. But there are a lot of people who leave corporate America, and they go to small towns, and they open up a little mom-and-pop shop. And they have a tendency to enjoy that, I think.
Or look, this couple we were talking about that we saw on Oprah, they got the RV.
Right.
And they just went around and saw America.
Right.
And they don't have, what Janis Joplin say? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Yes,
or maybe
exactly.
Chris Christopherson wrote it originally, but it's true.
All right, Vince in Temecula, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, Tim, how you doing
All right, man.
Love you, man. Love your dad, too.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I'm glad you had this topic because I'm one of those guys who is in a transition process of leaving corporate America as we speak. I've been in it for about 25 years, and I'm done.
And what are you going to do?
Well, I've been going to graduate school for the last 5 years. I'm finishing up my PhD in clinical psych.
Wow.
And decided that it's time to give back to the community. I'm a veteran, and with all the vets coming back.
Oh, you're going to treat vets.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my goal. That's my mission, or would you say personal legend?
That's some heavy lifting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's pretty intense, you know, being a the primary breadwinner, taking care of a family in a ridiculous community. It all gets
I hope you don't get too jaded where a guy tells you, Well, there was an IUD went off. My friend was killed. And you're like, all right, next. All right, well, we've heard this story.
No, if it was an IUD, that'd be very concerning. I don't like it when that explodes unexpectedly.
Yeah, that could be over.
Talk about PTSD.
No.
So, Vince, do you still have to work to support your family and go to school at night?
That's what I do, actually. Yeah, I go to school full time.
I don't have that kind of commitment.
Yeah, but Vince's life is going to be a million times better when he's done.
I don't know, yeah. Vince. I don't think it's too late. I think you should go beg for your job back.
No. Are you kidding? I mean, after a day of treating veterans, you think he's not going to drive home and think, yeah, I did something today. I made a difference.
But isn't that tough, Vince, to hear those stories every day?
Well, you know what? I tell you what's tough is sitting in a cube and doing something that doesn't really matter to anybody but a handful of people versus doing something, giving back to the universe. Think about it.
I guess you're right. And, you know, with corporate America, even though, you know, there's a lot of benefits, especially like working for, CBS, you get health, you get dental, you get vision, you get, we get to do a lot of cool things on the show, going to a Knott's Berry Farm. But you do have to sit through your share of corporate videos and, you know,
sexual harassment meetings.
I mean, when we first started working at the other building on 3580 Wilshire, it was another building, and I swear to God, the first thing I noticed when I walked in this building, Steckle and I were working our very first night, in the men's room, there were two posters, and they were the same poster but on different walls, and it says, rape is illegal, don't rape. Right?
Let me get this straight. Don't rape.
Don't rape.
Okay.
Now, you would think that...
I want you to confuse people.
Yeah, don't rape. Do not rape.
Bad.
Yeah, bad thing to rape. Right. But you thought once you get to CBS that somebody would have laid that on you. You don't have to read that.
At this point in your life, if you don't understand that raping is bad...
But you don't
you're not going to learn it from a poster in the CBS bathroom wall.
No, and it's not like, you know, this is... I mean, that poster could have been up at the at County Lockup in downtown Los Angeles. And
that might have been useful there.
Yeah, a little useful there.
Sure, your cellie is not someone to rape.
Right.
That's your friend.
But when you get to CBS and you're in the bathroom, you're like, you should have got that message
was
already.
Was there a graphic on this poster?
Yeah, there's like a creepy guy looking around a corner.
Please tell me he was a white guy.
He's a white guy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a white guy.
Oh!
All right. Teresa Strasser is with us. If you've left corporate America, how'd that work out for you? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. You can hear Teresa every morning on The Corolla Show from 5 to 10 a.m. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Teresa Strasser's with us, and we're about a half hour away or so from Robert Schimmel coming in. Very funny stand-up comic. You know Robert Schimmel, right?
Oh, yeah, he's on our show all the time.
Yeah.
He's got a very interesting story.
Great, great guy. All right, if you've left corporate America, that work out for you? Let's talk to Albert in Chino Hills. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
How are you, Tim?
All right, dude.
Great. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Albert.
I listen to you in the morning sometimes, and I did leave corporate America. I was kind of like Tim. Tim kind of said it best. I got fired from a lot of jobs growing up. Never could hold down a job. Either insubordination or something stupid just, erupted. And I just left corporate America after 12 years of being head of I was regional manager of a big home improvement company, probably the largest in the world today.
Right.
It was tough, you know. I went at one of the CEOs of this corporation, and I lost my job because of that.
What do you mean? You took a shot at him?
I was in a meeting, and they had called me, and I had flown over there. And, I basically am for the customer, and I voiced my opinion. And then the guy decided to disrespect me, and I went at him. They held me, of course, but...
You punch him in the face?
Yeah, I was ready to. Yeah, I went at him, and he no longer is the CEO of this corporation anymore. So.
Does it rhyme with Home Depot?
You know, I don't want to mention any names. I'm just saying that, you know, it was one of those things that, that I saw coming. And I went into construction about 2 years ago, and I made my first
To be honest with you,
year.
I think I would fire you, too.
It sounds like you might have a little problem with authority, just a little bit.
I did, and, you know, I've always, like I said, I don't make excuses for my actions, but, you know, after leaving corporate America, opening up my own company, and in being in construction, it has just been the biggest blessing of my entire life.
How many guys you got working for you?
I got about 8 guys now working for me. So we're moving along, and we're doing very, very well.
What's the name of the company?
DB Contracting.
Excellent.
All right, that's nice. I mean, Albert, it sounds like being your own boss is more in line with your personality.
A buddy came and said, "Hey, you want to start a business?" I said, "Let's do it." And you know, the rest is history, as they say.
What do you build? Houses?
Yeah, we do everything. We're a B contractor. Yeah, we're out at the fair. And, thanks for those tickets from the fair. You know, I called in when Lorenzo Lamas was in the other day. And
doesn't matter.
That was, I'm the guy with all the kids.
Doesn't matter. And, I'm here now.
All right, hold on one sec. We're going to give you more tickets to chew up your weekend.
You.
All right, hold on one sec. We'll give you a pair of tickets to stand-up comedy of Louis C.K. Where is this dude that just called him? Where is he? In Chino?
Chino Hills.
All right, that's pretty close. Louis C.K., at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano Thursday, thecoachhouse.com for more tickets. And that's a very funny show. Louis C.K.
He's that red-haired guy, right?
Yeah.
Really
like
dark.
A goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy. He was on with us last night. And if you go to YouTube and check out his videos, they're hysterical. All right, let's talk to, Eric.
All right.
In Torrance. Eric, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Timmy. I'm great.
Hey.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, yeah, I was telling your screener, I've had the worst jobs in the world, and now I'm actually glad that, you know, I had these just a-hole bosses who, I mean, I worked for this place where it was 95% women, and, you know, women are great, I love women, but...
Hold on, Tim, rape them or not? I can't remember. I need to see the poster.
Do not rape. Raping is bad, yes.
Oh, boy.
How am I supposed to know about a poster?
No rape. Raping is bad, and they'll put you in jail for a long time, and it ruins lives and lives, hundreds of lives, thousands. No. No means no, I guess, right, Teresa?
Yeah, apparently.
Does no always mean no?
If someone doesn't show me a poster to this effect, I don't know how I'm going to know this.
Okay. All right. So you left corporate America. What do you do now? You homeless?
No. No, I service and maintain gym equipment. So it's great.
You maintain gym equipment?
Like treadmills and such?
You work for Danny Bonaducci?
Have you seen his home gym?
The abortion of comedy.
You know, I haven't seen his gym, but I think his gym is in here.
Well, a lot of his gym is in here, but at his condo, which I know he rarely mentions, the entire
you mean the one
first,
on La Brea.
Yes, the entire.
Hollywood?
You open the door, it's a gym.
The whole
mirrors on the entire wall. You know, rubber mats on the floor. It looks exactly like, you know, gold.
He's got a boxing thing over here. He's got weights over here. The perfect pull-up, the perfect push-up, the perfect clean and jerk. He's got everything going on here.
Well, you know, he's here an entire hour. What if he needs a workout?
You see that barbell that he uses over there? It's 50 pounds plus whatever the bar weighs. I could not curl that.
No, please.
No way.
Forget it. I will say, you know, I hadn't seen Danny in a while, and we just did this live show for the NBC launch party, and I saw him, and I was really happy to see him. I actually really was. I didn't really get to talk to him, but he did one really incredibly nice thing for me, and that's all it takes.
Is that right? What
Friend
did he do?
Life. Well, when he first started working on our show, I had just broken up with this guy. Terrible, horrible, messy breakup. Painful, sad. And he got a new girlfriend right away. And this woman... I don't know why she did this, but she emailed through MySpace a picture of herself licking the side of this ex-boyfriend's face. We had just broken up. I mean, I really thought, you know, we lived together for 2.5 years. So, you know, it's a long-term thing. And Bonaducci happened to be standing there when I opened this email, which she set up a fake My Dummy account to send it to me, so it wasn't from her. And I opened it, and there was, you know, my ex's face being licked by this strange girl. And I just broke down crying. And he really, honestly, was like, "You want me to take care of this?" It wasn't a bit. I mean, he meant it. He was like, "I can make this go away." And I just thought, I don't know if you're just doing this to be macho, and I don't care why, but I've never felt so safe and protected like this guy really would take her out. And then, of course...
How did he take care of it?
Well, I didn't even want to know. And he said, "I know, I'm not even going to tell you anything about it if we decided to move forward." And I was like, no, don't do anything. And then on the air, we were joking about it, and he's like, "Well, what does this girl do? I said, I think she's a teacher. Oh, really? Well, that's not too hard to find. I know a lot of teachers. And so it was a thinly veiled threat. Next thing we knew, this girl had filed charges against Danny. Through
really?
The district attorney.
Wow.
And Danny had to march himself to the DA, and we had to apologize on the air.
Is that right?
Yeah, but for some reason, something in my heart just always will be grateful for that one moment in front of no one but me where he just said, you want me to take care of it?
Wow, look at that, man.
Bitch, we entertain!
Jesus.
For all his faults, he had a really great moment.
I like to have Danny on my side, man. That guy's, that was a pretty cool story.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Let's talk to a Mike here in Santa Monica. Mike, on 97.1 FM Talk, how are you?
Well, supposedly the dream. I couldn't take it, so I quit, started my own law.
I wasn't expecting that. That's never happened to me before.
I sort of expected that guy,
really?
That guy, yeah.
How can you tell?
Well, because he used the whole name of the law firm.
Yeah, so you knew he had some kind of axe to grind.
Yeah.
Does that happen often?
No, it happens once in a while. But you know what? I can never get down on guys that do phone calls like that because I spent my childhood doing that.
Prank calls?
To everybody, to KBC.
But as a child, but as a grown man.
Yeah, I stopped it probably around 30.
Do you remember that last prank call you got in?
Yeah, it was Al Downing over at KBC. And Al Downing was a Dodger pitcher, and then he became the Dodgers' post-game talk show host. And Al was known for the guy that gave up Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run when he broke Babe Ruth's record. And it was down in Atlanta. And he always felt bad about it, and he doesn't like to talk about it.
Right.
And so my friend and I used to constantly call. Hey, Al, what do you think about Ron Say in the hot corner? Well, Ron Say is a great guy. You know, he's number 10. The Penguin. He plays next to Russell. Ba-dang. So how was it giving up that home run to Hank Aaron? And the guy would go ape-ass, man. He would just absolutely lose it. And also, another one that we don't like to admit, but I have a very good friend who used to call Meryl Schindler over at KBC.
Oh, I like his show.
I know, and I felt bad. But Meryl wasn't too quick with the
with
dumb
the button.
Button.
Yeah.
So he'd go, hey, Meryl, can you recommend a steak?
No.
And about 10 of them would get over the air.
Oh, no. Poor Schindler.
I know, but so I can't get down on these guys. This is coming home to roost.
It's just a bizarre instinct. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to hurt this stranger's feelings. Let me see if I can spend an hour of my life, my rich, full life.
Some of them are pretty creative.
That one was not, but FFF is kind of, and it has a beautiful simplicity to it.
Exactly right. You know, I guess I can't do this now, I don't have time, but my dad, I got a tape of my dad Baba Booey-ing me.
No.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
You didn't recognize his voice?
No, it happened like, it was on my home machine. He called my answer machine. He goes, hey, Baba Booey. It's your dad. I'm like, oh, man, that's sort of odd. I should get that tape and bring it in, though. It is weird to hear your dad do that.
But it was kind of satisfying on Howard Stern when someone would get by, you know what I mean, doing the Baba Booey thing occasionally.
Yeah, I still love that. All right, we're going to do the news here. Can you stay for the news?
I sure can.
All right, we'll try to get you a shot of something.
Thank you.
And we'll do the news with Gina Grad here. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, Brett Favre regales his fans with more excuses, and Lindsay Lohan is opening up about her relationship. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Excellent. Can I love that Lindsay Lohan. And also, we're going to play the David Letterman's top 10 list here. The signs your dog hates you. Is that funny, Maya?
The dog hates you! The dying dog!
Gets me every time. Every time.
I love that, man. He loves that list.
He really enjoys it.
That's the ticket, huh?
That's the ticket!
And the pet humor is really his thing.
Loves it. All right, it is the Tim Conrad Jr. Show's Teresa Strasser's with us. And we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.